Well, happy Father's Day and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about Christ-centered fatherhood tonight. I look here at Paul's letter to the Ephesians, there in the third chapter. He says, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. The word there for family is also easily translated fatherhood. What does it mean to be a father? There's a lot of advice out there for the Christian father in the bookstores, in the Christian media. There are tapes. There are all sorts of resources. You can walk into the average church on Sunday morning, perhaps even your church this morning, and hear a sermon on Christian fatherhood. What is genuine Christ-centered fatherhood? We're going to talk about that during this hour of Issues Etc. Pastor David Shaddy will be our guest. We are coming to you live this Father's Day evening. It's June the 20th. If you'd like to join us with a question or a comment, our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. We'd love to hear from some of you dads tonight on the subject of Christ-centered fatherhood, 1-800-730-2727, or if you prefer, our Issues Etc. forum waits for you at our website, issuesetc.org, under the What's New section. You can post questions or comments on Christ-centered fatherhood right there, and as time permits, we will get to those questions and comments as we talk with Pastor David Shaddy. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Indianapolis. He and a fellow pastor conduct seminars titled The Gospel and the Christian Family. He's a regular guest on Issues Etc. Pastor Shaddy, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back.
What is missing? You have written in the past, as we enter the discussion of fatherhood, we do so in light of the cross. What is missing from so much of Christian books, tapes, even sermons on Christian fatherhood?
The biggest thing that's missing is God Himself. So often we hear, well, this is what's expected of you, and as a father you should do this, or, you know, you really need to look at the needs of your family and meet those, and you need to, and there's this tremendous expectation that's raised. But what tends not to be in there is God Himself, that God is Father. And He is Father, certainly in a law sense, in that He tells us, this is my will, and this is how you follow it, and He condemns us when we sin, and so forth and so on. But mostly God is our Father in the graciousness with which He provides for us, first our souls, and then also our bodies. And this wonderful loving relationship that God establishes with us as the one who defines Father.
Do we think of earthly fathers or misunderstand earthly fathers because we misunderstand the Heavenly Father?
Oh, I think so. I think probably the biggest problem is that we just don't make the connection at all. There seems to be an assumption among many that God calls Himself Father because He's comparing Himself to us. I just don't think that's true at all. I think God is comparing us to Him. He is Father. Now, when we look at God, we have to look at the whole picture. So often, when we talk about God the Father, we think of the Creator, or we think of the one who had Moses climb up on Mount Sinai and spoke to him, and Moses brought down the Ten Commandments. We tend to have a vision of our Father as the one who has this unalterable will, which He certainly does, but also this tremendous expectation of us. When the most essential and the most talked about thing in Scripture that our Heavenly Father has done is to send Jesus into the world to save us from our sins.
Let's talk about that. Is that what you mean when you say when we talk about fatherhood, we have to do so in light of the cross?
Oh, yeah. Fatherhood, we come to understand God, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus. Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And in so many other places, in the Gospel of John, it says, no one has ever seen God, but the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father. He has made Him known. We have come to know God the Father through Jesus Christ. And what is it that we know about God the Father? We know that God does not simply leave us to fulfill our expectations, but rather forgives our sins, that his primary purpose is to be merciful, to hear our cries and pleas for mercy, and to answer those as he has on the cross of our Savior Jesus Christ. It is God's will to forgive us. It is God's will to restore us. It is God's will to love us, to provide the grace necessary for us to live our lives as his children. All these things come from the hand of our gracious God, not through the expectations of the law, but through what he has provided in the gospel.
So what does earthly fatherhood have to do with the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ? Draw the connection, however it may be made, between Jesus' work for us at the cross, sent by the Father according to his command, laying down his life for sinners, and earthly fatherhood.
We are established in our homes as Christians by the forgiveness of sins. That's the foundation upon which we build our lives. In discussing, and we discussed at some detail, the marriage relationship between Christ and the church and how that is lived out in homes between husbands and wives. Well, what is it that establishes that marriage? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. It's the gospel. It's the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ by which he has forgiven our sins and established us as his own. So the very foundation upon which our homes are built is this gospel relationship, this wondrous gift that God has given us in sending Jesus to be the heavenly bridegroom and to establish our home through the forgiveness of sins. You become a father by becoming a husband. Children are a natural gift from God from the relationship that we have in our homes with our wives. Therefore, our fatherhood is established first and foremost by the relationship that God establishes with us in the marriage between Christ and the church, and then reflects that in our own. Then, for us as fathers, as we look at, you know, gee, how do I be a father? Well, you be like the one in heaven. Pretty tall order. The first thing we realize about the fatherhood of God is we're not like him. We're not perfect. We're not completely holy. We're not able to provide as he provides. We're not able to do any of those things. We very often turn around and do exactly the opposite of what we know to be the will of God. We do the opposite of what we have seen in God our Father, and for that, we need the forgiveness of sins. You know, the first thing about fatherhood is recognizing our own sinfulness and recognizing our need for forgiveness, then applying what we have received from God to the way we conduct ourselves with our children, that as God has forgiven our sins, has called us to repentance and has forgiven us our sins, that we teach our children what it is to say I'm sorry for the bad things we do, and also to receive from Daddy the forgiveness that Daddy and the children receive from God.
Pastor Shaddy, we have about a minute, maybe 2 minutes here before this break. I remember I was once given some parenting advice, some advice in fatherhood early on as a father after my first child was born. And I was trying to sort out some of the things you do with toddlers. And the advice was, look, don't admit you're wrong. If you admit you're wrong, your child will capitalize upon that and take advantage of it. And you'll lose all sense of authority and credibility with your children if you ever admit you're wrong. What do you make of that advice in light of what you've just said there?
Oh, I think, you know, I'm sure it was very well-intentioned advice, but it couldn't be any more wrong. For our children to see that we have received the forgiveness of sins, that we understand what it is to do something wrong, and to recognize that we, as their dad, has received this wonderful forgiveness from God and is now passing that forgiveness on, puts us and our children in a position of strength, not only in our relationship with each other, but most importantly with God. We must confess our sins. This is what we teach our children. It would be hypocrisy for us as fathers not to confess our sins when that's what we're telling our kids to do.
Pastor David Shaddy is our guest. I want you to just very briefly here in about a minute before we go to this break, Pastor Shaddy, you said the first thing about fatherhood is recognizing your own sin and your own need for the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. Really the first thing?
Yeah. We first humble ourselves before God. The thing we need to understand as fathers is our relationship to our Father. And we are at peace with our Father in heaven by the forgiveness we have received in Jesus Christ and by the righteousness that He's given us. That is where our relationship with God begins. If we are in any way to reflect our Heavenly Father to our children, we first have to have a relationship with Him that He has made with us through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Folks, this might sound somewhat radical to many of you out there, mothers and fathers listening, or perhaps even children, reflecting upon the fathers that they have had. The first thing about Christian fatherhood is recognizing your own sin and your need for the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. Really is the first thing. We've already talked about it a bit, but we'll talk about it more when we come back from this break. How does a Christian father confess his sins to his children and thereby teach his children that what he is all about, what his relationship with them is all about, what their relationship with one another and the whole and the rest of the Christian family is all about, is the forgiveness of sins. You see, here we've already come to it in the first part of this conversation. Christ-centered fatherhood is cross-focused fatherhood. Fatherhood focused on the forgiveness of sins won for us by Jesus Christ at the cross. When we come back from this break, we'll continue our conversation. Feel free to give us a call, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. The subject, Christ-centered fatherhood, with Pastor David Shaddy.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the national radio show The White Horse Inn, on the importance of Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. presents Jesus Christ and His saving work out of the text of the Bible. The teaching of Christ alone is the driving force of this program. It deals with the important issues of our time with carefully chosen guests and hosts who are knowledgeable in the scriptures, history, and their application. On Issues, Etc., you will not hear pop evangelicalism, but confessional Lutheran theology fluently presented.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172.
Next week on Issues, Etc., the topic will be the secularization of the church. Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, will be our guest. Perhaps that name sounds familiar to you. He's a nationwide speaker on the life issue. We'll be talking to him about the secularization of the church. How has the culture influenced the Christian church in the 21st century? How has the church influenced the culture? We'll be talking about that next week on Issues, Etc. Dr. Lawrence White will be our guest. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing throughout the summer here on Issues, Etc., just check out our website, issuesetc.org. While you're there at the website, be sure to read several resources we've posted on fatherhood, written by our guest in this hour, Pastor David Shaddy. The address, issuesetc.org. Pastor Shaddy, you're a father of four children. How does a Christian father confess his sins to his kids?
As honestly as possible. You know, I'll be the first to admit, this is the first several times especially, this is a real crusher for dads. You know, we have that male ego thing going, and you know, we tend to get a little macho about things at times, and certainly as regards our children, we want to try to keep some semblance of an aura that says, oh man, that's dad, and you know, he's really something. And you know, we would assume that confessing our sins to our kids, especially where we have done them wrong, is some way going to erode that away. That simply hasn't been my experience. And you know, I confess that in telling my kids when I have made mistakes and when I have done wrong and when I have sinned, you know, those aren't the easiest words that have ever come out of my mouth. And yet, it certainly has not eroded their respect. It certainly has not in any way diminished our relationship. I would say it probably has enhanced it, because they recognize that I'm under the same grace from the same God that they are. And, you know, at the same time, I've also spent time with them saying, look, you know, I do things that are wrong, and that's because I'm a sinner. But in the midst of that, I also happen to be your father. I am the person that God has placed here for you to show you his love, and I'm going to do that to the best of my ability. Sometimes you'll be happy about that, and sometimes you won't. But there it is. I, a sinner, fallible as I may be, still have a calling from God to be your dad.
Now, I have adopted the same practice with my kids. I did not take the advice given to me early on that I should show no chink in my armor to my children. Rather, I've opted for the honest and, I think, Christian approach. And it occurred to me the other day when I was sitting in church with my kids that whether or not I were confessing even if I weren't confessing to my kids that I am a sinner, and when I do them wrong, when I have basically been wrong with them or behaved wrongly with them, to confess that to them and seek their forgiveness for Christ's sake, even if I weren't doing that, if I'm sitting in church confessing my sins, they're hearing me confess my sins there. At least I ought to be consistent at home, shouldn't I?
Yeah. And, you know, let's face it, they know. They know we're sinners. They see it. I think sometimes we really think that kids are stupid, and they're not. They pick up on things that we do, right or wrong, very early, and we see ourselves coming back in the actions and the words of our kids. They're especially at a very young age, they soak in everything. They notice everything. So, you know, when they have a concept that this is wrong or this is wrong because this is what mom and dad are teaching me, they see us. This is no big mystery. But to have us then come back and admit it, you know, this is where our kids are taken aback, and, you know, all of a sudden they say, you know, this is real. This is not dad telling me I'm wrong just because dad wants me to do something that I don't want to do. This is dad telling me I'm wrong because it's just as wrong for him as it is for me.
You talked about also the flip side of that coin, where at the same time, as a sinner forgiven by Christ, I am still my children's father. That is the place that God has put me in relationship with them. That comes with responsibility. What is the primary responsibility of the Christian father?
I would say the primary responsibility of the Christian father is to share God's word and especially the gospel with their children. You know, people talk about worst nightmares. My worst nightmare is this. My worst nightmare is that. My worst nightmare is that my children or my descendants down the line will not be in heaven. So the most important thing that I can do is to pass on to my children what God has passed on to me by his grace, and that is the teaching that Jesus Christ is their Savior and their Lord and the one who has redeemed them from sin and has dressed them in his righteousness and all the wonders that brings into their lives. You know, we talk about evangelism and reaching out with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that is an essential function of the church. It begins at home when those children come home, and now you have the privilege, with everything that you surround them with, to share with them the one thing needful, the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I imagine fathers out there thinking, well, okay, that's kind of what I leave that duty to my wife. She does the little devotions with the kids. Or we send our kid to parochial school, and they pretty much cover the whole education in the Christian faith aspect. We've delegated that responsibility to them. Your response?
Well, I think I see that delegation take place. I really think that over the years, especially in the previous century, because there was a great deal of emphasis on professionals doing a whole lot of things, not only in terms of our Christian education, but our secular education, that there was, to some extent, an abdication, especially by the husbands and fathers, of their responsibility to see to it that these children are educated, and specifically educated in God's Word. That I am a pastor and therefore able to teach confirmation class to the children of my parish does not mean that I am the one who is accountable for whether or not they know God's word. That's their dad. As far as God is concerned, that's their dad. The one who is going to be held accountable is therefore the one who ought to be doing it. Now, as a pastor, I recognize that it's been a long time, a generation or two in some people's families, since this has been done. And so I'm very sensitive to seeing that we have things available here at church that will help fathers to begin the process of getting back into this role of teaching God's word to their children. But I still am very zealous to say to the dads, and not, you know, I'm not trying to burden them, I'm not trying to load them down, I'm trying to say, hey, look at the wonderful privilege that you have to show your Heavenly Father to your kids by the things that you do, and thing number one that you do is to teach them that same wonderful truth that God has passed on to you.
You're listening to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this Sunday night, June the 20th, Father's Day. Issues Etc. is a live call-in program. Feel free to use those call-in numbers, 1-800-730-2727. The best callers in the next 90 minutes of our conversation with Pastor David Shaddy will receive our 7-hour tape series with Pastor Shaddy on the gospel and the Christian family. 7 full hours of conversation with Pastor David Shaddy on the gospel and the Christian family. To the best callers, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. When we come back, one more bit on what Pastor Shaddy just said. In order for Christian fathers, the Christ-centered father, to be able to instruct his children in the Christian faith, as we have often heard it, bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, he has to be aware of the Christian faith as well. He has to know what it is he is to teach his children. What does that mean then? How does that tie to not only bringing the family to church, but the Christian father being in church, connected with God's word and sacraments as well? Also, how has feminism influenced and perhaps even changed our popular perception of fatherhood? That's coming up next on Issues Etc. Stay with us.
Have you ever finished reading a Bible book, but then felt frustrated because several of your questions went unanswered? Well, you'll find a helpful resource when studying the Old Testament book of Leviticus with the New Concordia Commentary on Leviticus. It's our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. You can find out more about this commentary under the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. That's 1-800-325-3040. The Concordia Commentary on Leviticus costs $42.99 plus shipping and handling. How does each chapter of Leviticus find its fulfillment in Jesus Christ? And what was the purpose of the detailed instructions in the so-called divine speeches of Leviticus? Find out with the Concordia Commentary on Leviticus by Dr. John Kleine. 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, the Concordia Commentary on Leviticus.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.
Martin Luther once called the doctrine of justification the doctrine by which the church stands or falls. What is the central nature of this teaching, and why is it so important? Here is Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas.
Paul articulates for us more clearly than anywhere else in Scripture that great biblical doctrine of justification, that as the sinner stands before the righteous judge, he is declared to be not guilty because of that which Christ has done for us. When God the judge looks on us, he sees not our sins, not our failures and our flaws, but the pure white robe of Christ's righteousness. And we are declared to be justified, not guilty, because of that which Christ has done for us.
Issues Etc., the radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century.
Do Christians, Jews, and Muslims worship the same God? Can someone worship God the Father apart from Jesus Christ? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article for the next edition of the Issues Etc. Journal. It's called Mere Monotheism, and you can receive a complimentary copy of the Issues Etc. Journal by calling our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. What's the difference between a knowledge of God and the true worship of God? Find out with the Issues Etc. Journal, 1-800-737-0172. The next issue also details Dr. Leonard Payton's journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism, 1-800-737-0172. Now, if you enjoy Issues Etc., the radio show, you need to get the Issues Etc. Journal. Call now, 1-800-737-0172, and ask for a free copy of the Issues Etc. Journal.
Folks, I can tell you as a former parish pastor, there were times when, say, preparing for Bible study or a sermon, when I was at my wit's end, the things that I had learned in college and seminary had pretty much run to the end. And in looking at a certain place in the Bible, I would say, look, I don't know, my resources are gone. I needed something to reference. I needed a reference work, a good, solid commentary. Now, there are two parts to a good commentary. One is that it gets the facts right. It gets the information about a certain book of the Bible correct. If it's the book of Galatians or the book of Deuteronomy, you want the information in there to be correct. The second thing is, and this is often not found in even the best of commentaries, that a commentary be Christ-centered. That is, that it pick up and try to explain to the reader of Scripture how Christ is found on every page in every book of the Bible. How is this book to be understood in terms of its fulfillment in Jesus Christ? Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is one such commentary that does not shirk on explaining to the reader how Christ is found on every page. It's called the Concordia Commentary on Leviticus. You can order it by calling the Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours. Their number is 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. You can browse before you buy the Concordia Commentary on Leviticus by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section of the website, you'll find information on the Concordia Commentary on Leviticus. As I said, it's a great gift for your pastor if you're thinking about something to give him. When you call or write, mention Issues Etc. Our Book of the Month for June is the Concordia Commentary on Leviticus. That number again, 1-800-325-3040. We're talking about Christian fatherhood, Christ-centered, cross-focused fatherhood. Pastor David Shaddy is our guest. Pastor Shaddy, you mentioned before the break that the primary responsibility of a Christian father is to bring up his children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to pass on to them the Christian faith. That means, perhaps even before that, that he needs to know the Christian faith. He needs to understand the Word of God that he has been entrusted to teach his children, doesn't he?
Yeah, it sure does. And I think this is where our natural fear comes in terms of fathers taking this responsibility in their homes. Number one, most young fathers today, no one's ever told them that this is, you know, what they're supposed to be doing. And they feel naturally ill-equipped to do it. Understandably, they feel ill-equipped to do it. That's where, you know, I'm encouraging especially our young fathers to be in the Word, to be in Bible class, and for us together to look at some opportunities to provide materials for them that will help them in instructing their children. You know, we've used a number of resources over the years, especially when our kids were little, devotional resources, little visits with God and things like that, that, you know, use sort of an object lesson format to teach the kids. And yet, you know, I've said to the dads, you need to be delving into the Word of God, and from time to time your children will ask you a question that you don't know the answer to. It's okay to say, you know, I don't know, but let's see if we can find out, and consult your pastor, or, you know, look at the resources available on the internet or in your church or whatever the case may be, and you know, dig into God's Word a little bit to get some of these things. You know, we are sinners and we are imperfect, and there's nothing wrong with saying to our kids, you know, I don't know, but let's see if we can find out.
How has modern feminism influenced and perhaps even changed our popular perception of fatherhood?
Well, modern feminism is of the view that you can eliminate the father in entirely, that the father is nothing more than a sperm donor, and, you know, we live in a day and age where you can get that about anywhere. So as far as they're concerned, there really isn't a positive contribution of fathers to children, and so fathers are just sort of on the outs. They're an unnecessary thing, and you know, the relationship in terms of marriage and so forth within that community has not been real great of recent. So, you know, there's this general attitude that says you're not necessary. Now, studies all over are reporting that there's disaster taking place in our country because that message has been received and pretty much has been applied in so many cases. There's far too many kids who are growing up without a father, and we're finding out as a country that makes the girls very insecure and the boys downright angry because they find themselves in circumstances where they're in an all-female environment, and those females, not by any necessary fault of their own, wind up punishing boys for being boys. There needs to be a father in the life of children, a father for the young ladies to receive male acceptance and love, and a father in the case of the boys to teach them what a man is, which they will otherwise not know.
Pastor Shadi, you talk about punishing boys for being boys, and I think it also extends punishing men for being men. Is this even also found to a certain degree, in a subtle way, in the church, that the church has become feminized, a place where men feel like they have to lay aside their manhood in order to walk in the door?
You know, I think to a certain extent. You know, I heard your advertisement on, you know, how does the culture affect the church and how does the church affect the culture. I think that feminism has so bullied men regarding being a positively strong husband and a positively strong father that, you know, men have a tendency to be what we see sometimes in these television sitcoms, these simpering fools who, you know, couldn't come up with an original idea if you held a gun to their head. This is not what God is looking for, and this is not what children are looking for. They're looking, you know, children look naturally for different things from their mother and father because their mother and father are different. And there is inside of us instinctively something that says, when I want nurture and care and sympathy and so forth, I go to mom because she's equipped to give me that. But when I want something strong, when I want to know where I stand in the world, when I want strong arms around me so that I feel safe and secure, I go to dad because dad is equipped for that. This is not what we're telling people today in the church. We are not telling men, you know, it's this energy that you have and this aggressiveness that you have can be channeled in a very positive way to be a wonderful husband and father. You don't have to, in order to be a wonderful husband and father, you don't have to deny who you are. You take who you are and show Jesus Christ to your wife and show Jesus Christ and God the Father to your children in a positive and very active way.
Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, talking about Christ-centered fatherhood with Pastor David Shaddy. Let's go to the phones now and talk with Gary. He's calling from Kansas City. He listens on KCCV. Gary, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you. I think one of the most important things that I realized is, and I've raised four kids, and they're all out of the home, is that children are a gift from God that God has entrusted to us as parents to care for them. And that just because a child turns 18 years of age does not mean that you check out as a father. You're a father for a lifetime. And that you're to surround them, not be afraid to hug them properly, whether it's a boy or a girl, to kiss them, to continually affirm that they are worthy. And that one of the most awesome responsibilities that hit me was that once I realized that I couldn't do anything as that, was when I realized that apart from God, it's impossible. But once you grab hold of the fact that God is and Jesus is your Heavenly Father, then you can proceed and do those things as a parent and never, never turn your back on your children. You may not be happy with some of the things that they do at times, but those are your children for life.
Gary, thank you very much. We appreciate the call. Stay on hold, if you would, so that we can give you a copy of The Gospel and the Christian Family, that seven-hour tape series with Pastor Shaddy. And if you're not on hold still, you can always call us back, 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Shaddy, your thoughts on what Gary had to say there?
Especially enthusiastic about that last point. Never turn your back on your children. Why not? God never turns his back on us. You know, this is exactly the example that I'm trying to get across here. The reason that we ought to have for being the way we are as fathers is because that's how God is to us. And I appreciated the comments very much that, you know, what establishes us as fathers is our Father and the love that he has for us and the forgiveness that he offers us and the care. And you know, I agree. You know, I'm 46. My dad is pushing 80. I still call him Dad because he still is my dad. And I'm sure when I am 80 and my children are in their 40s and 50s, they will still call me Dad because I am still their dad. And, you know, there are a whole lot of things that one graduates from or retires from. Parenthood is not one of them. Now, your relationship changes with your children for sure. But, you know, our oldest, Nate, his name is Nathaniel. He just graduated from college. And I named him Nathaniel because it means gift from God, which is a reflection of what all of our children are. For fun, I write songs, and I wrote a song for Nate, and you know, at the end, basically said, "I want to protect you to keep you from harm, because you'll always be that babe in my arms." That never goes away, and that never goes away because our Heavenly Father never stops being our Father, and we don't stop being His children. Despite the fact that we sin, we are still His children. He still loves us. He still offers us his grace, his forgiveness. He still empowers us with his word. All of those things take place because he is our Father, not our slave master, not our boss, but our Father. And so also we as God's people, reflecting our Heavenly Father to our children, we are always their Father. We always love them. We always forgive them. We always renew them. We always restore them because that's what our Father does for us.
Pastor David Shaddy is our guest. We did a seven-hour series with Pastor Shaddy called The Gospel and the Christian Family. The best callers during this hour with this conversation and the next hour on Christ-centered fatherhood will receive a copy of that seven-hour tape series with Pastor David Shaddy. 1-800-730-2727.
1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Those are our call-in numbers. You won't be able to hear this next hour on the radio, folks, but if you listen towards the end of this program, right near the close theme, you will hear the name and address of a local Lutheran church that sponsors Issues, etc.
Preaching Christ and Him Crucified. You're listening to Issues, etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues, etc. Issues, etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you to pay the production salaries and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin asking you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You can donate by credit card, 1-800-737-0172. Or you can donate by check, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. If you'd like to receive a complimentary copy of our Issues Etc. journal, the newest is on its way out. Or if you'd like to help support the Christ-centered, cross-focused outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift, call our resource line. Here's the number for that automated resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172, or write us at Issues Etc., the address box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. We're talking about Christ-centered fatherhood. Pastor David Shaddy is our guest. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Indianapolis. He and a fellow pastor conduct seminars nationwide titled The Gospel and the Christian Family. Candy calls us from Lexington, Nebraska. She listens on KLCV. Candy, welcome to Issues, etc.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Yeah, Candy.
Well, I like to always remember that God is love and love is God. I mean, it means the same way frontwards or backwards. And that we should, that my dad was a very loving father and instilled that in me. And even in the Lord's Prayer, you're not supposed to change words of the Bible, but since God is love and love is God, that like thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory, that love is the power. Love is the, you know, love is the kingdom. Love is the glory, because love is God, and that fathers need to show more of their love and their kindness. And like Jesus wept, it's okay that a father shows his kindness and his tears and that part of him.
Candy, thank you very much for the call, and as well, stay on the line so we can send you a copy of that 7-hour tape series we did, Gospel and the Christian Family, with Pastor Shaddy. Pastor Shaddy, first of all, let's deal with the passage that she was quoting there several times, that being the God is love. How are we to rightly understand the connection between God is love and God as our Father?
Well, they're pretty much two sides of the same coin. That is a section from 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this is love, not that we loved, but that he first loved us and gave his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, let us also love one another. The focal point of that text is, once again, the gospel. Not that we loved, but that he first loved us and sent his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. This brings us where we need to be in terms of our love for our children, that we are prepared as fathers to reflect the love of God, and especially the love of our Savior Jesus Christ, by our willingness to love our kids even to the point of death. Because this is the love God has given us, and this is the love that he empowers us with and the love he equips us with. God is indeed love. She's absolutely right. And that love is very specific. It's not defined primarily as an emotion. It is defined primarily as the action that Jesus Christ went through for us by laying down his life for our sins. Now, needless to say, our Savior was very passionate about what he did and about the reason he came. But his passion came from his love, and his action came from his love, and that love is demonstrated to us in the cross.
1-800-730-2727. Next up, Rana in Palo Alto, California, listening on KFAX. Rana, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, thank you. Many men feel their obligation is fulfilled by sending their children to church to learn about God. You know, they may feel ill-equipped to teach it. They know about the Bible, but not enough to put it into words to be a teacher for their children. How could a wife encourage a man to accept the responsibility and obligation to actually teach the children himself?
Good question, Rana. Pastor Shaddy.
Outstanding question, and you're absolutely right. In my experience as a pastor, I've just turned over 20 years now in the ministry, and in my experience, the number one obstacle in the way to what we've been discussing so far is the father's feeling inadequate to do it. Absolutely right. It's a huge problem. How I would answer that question is, first of all, I would approach my pastor and say, Pastor, could you find some things to equip all of our husbands and fathers to teach their children the Word of God? Not just mine, all of them. And there are wonderful things out there that are available to do that. You know, I mentioned when our kids were little, we used Little Visits with God. The Little Visits with God took 2-3 minutes at the dinner table every night, and yet our children came to expect that and look forward to those moments. Now, that wasn't, you know, where Dad, the pastor, is sitting there expounding these great truths from Scripture. We just read the devotion. There's lots of those things available. So I would begin with your pastor and say, Pastor, are there things that you could encourage all of our husbands to be doing to show this to our children? And, you know, maybe if you bring a few of those things home, and the two of you look over them together, that will, you know, he'll see what these materials are and so forth and so on, and be able possibly to prepare a little bit. And, you know, just a little bit of preparation with some of these materials is all that's necessary to really get the questions answered and the kids equipped. I would start very simply with very short devotional materials. You know, I don't think devotions, especially starting off, have to be these great lengthy things. I think that more often than not, we are really touched by some very short, easy to understand, short sentences, possibly object lesson format types of things. But you know, I think her word was a good one. Encourage. We're asking. In most cases, we're asking fathers to do something not only that they have never done, but their dads didn't do it either. And encouragement, and to say, you know, I'm not standing here ready to pound you if you don't, but here's what the pastor is providing, and here's what's available to us. And look at the wonderful blessing we can be to our kids, to encourage our dads to look at it as a privilege and an opportunity to share something wonderful with their kids.
Finally, Pastor Shaddy, with only a minute here to answer, God demands complete obedience to his holy law. You made that point before. And we have all failed to be the fathers that God wants us to be. What do you say to the dads out there, myself included, who have realized their sinful shortcomings on this Father's Day? What do you say to them by word of comfort to Christian Father?
Drop it off at the cross. You know, one of the problems that we face as Christians is we continue to carry on our shoulders what Jesus already has. He already took that to Calvary. Let it go. And then look at the opportunities that God has given you as a forgiven sinner to be a blessing to your kids as God in Christ has been to you.
Folks, you won't be able to hear the next hour's conversation on Christ-centered fatherhood on your local radio station. It's only on the internet. But you can get a free two-hour tape of this hour and the next hour's internet-only broadcast on Christ-Centered Fatherhood. All you have to do is contact the local Lutheran church that sponsors Issues, etc., and they'll send you a free cassette recording of both hours. Get a pen and a piece of paper ready, because you should hear an announcement with a phone number and a mailing address right after the Issues, etc. close theme for that local sponsor of Issues, etc. We are coming to you live this Father's Day, Sunday night. It's June the 20th. We'll be continuing to take your phone calls in the next hour on Christ-Centered Fatherhood. The number, 1-800-730-2727. If you're getting a busy signal, keep trying. We'll be freeing up those phone lines. The best callers with a question or a comment for Pastor David Shaddy will receive our seven-hour tape series with Pastor Shaddy titled The Gospel and the Christian Family. 1-800-730-2727. Or, as always, you can post a question or a comment on the Issues Etc. forum, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find the forum there. You can also tune in live to the next hour on the internet. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the worldwide KFUO logo. You won't be able to hear this on the radio. It's only on the internet, issuesetc.org. Click on the worldwide KFUO logo, 1-800-730-2727. Let's hear from some dads in the next hour, 1-800-730-2727. This break is a great time to call, 1-800-730-2727. Well, when Paul talks about bowing his knees to the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, he's not just talking about God as a picture of fatherhood. He's talking about the essence of fatherhood. God himself says, this is the love that the Father has given to us, says John, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. How are we the children of God? Through his Son, Jesus Christ. When you see the Son of God dying there for your sins at the cross, you are seeing God the Father making you his children through the forgiveness of sins. And that's how fatherhood goes on in our families as well, from whom our families are named from God the Father. His fatherhood extends through us earthly fathers to our children in the forgiveness of sins won at the cross by Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Visit us this week on the World Wide Web. Our website address, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.